Welcome to Hometown Glory, your Spurs and culture podcast. I'm Rosa and I've got Billy and Lauren with me today for culture, Spurs Women Cup final prep and absolutely nothing else. Obviously that's not true. We sadly do have to reckon with whatever the fuck is going on with our club. Once again, it's been a chastening week, shall we say, for our men in Lily White. I want you both tell me to begin with, we're not going to dwell because we don't dwell, but I would like you both to tell me the worst thing about the last week and then we'll just put it in the bin and move on. Billy, first of all, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, one of those weeks, eh, man? One of those weeks.
Listen, we've lived through so many by this point.
We know.
You would think as a fan base, we would know how to deal with this better, but yeah. I feel like we're okay with it. Well, not okay, but we know what we're doing. Tell me your worst thing. Let's just get it out of the way. Get it done.
It's easy for one for me is that I absolutely hate losing to Chelsea. I despise everything about that club. I would really have liked to not lose twice to Mauricio Pochettino. That would have been great for my mental health, but sadly it transpired. And
you're not allowed. You're just not allowed.
The worst thing for me, right, is I found myself at a point this season where I just don't care anymore for the rest of the season. I know it's only temporary because I'm still very invested in everything that we're doing at the moment. But to go to the last three or four games at this point in the season, in a season that I was so into, you know, a few months ago, it's just a bit sad. But that's what it is, I guess. I'm just can't wait for the season to be over now.
Yeah, I think. Lauren, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I think my worst thing is that the only thing I have left to cling on to this season is if we roll over and let Man City beat us.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels a bit like I don't want to be in that position, but we are. And but it's kind of like I wish we, you know, there was a bit more kind of positivity from our own team, I think, driving towards the end of the season. I'm kind of just in that just want it to finish, wait for next season and go again. But yeah, it just kind of feels like, you know, if we somehow win that Man City game, it just feels like it's going to feel like a really bad season. So yeah, I think that's the worst thing, that I'm just resigned to hate watching again.
Yeah, that's all we've got. The fact that all we've got to sort of look forward to is a loss. This is really deeply, deeply depressing. I honestly, people have been talking about, it would be like so us to win that game. I genuinely, on current evidence, I don't think we've got anything to worry about. Bill?
Yeah, I know. Let's get into culture a little bit before culture, but it is hating season at the moment. So I think we're all right. And then everyone, that's the energy that everyone's bringing at the moment, Kendrick and Drake. Which has completely taken up my time, actually, and my attention. So I've not really been too bothered about the football, but you know, maybe it is hate watching season. So maybe it's not so bad after all.
I feel very connected to Kendrick on a very deep level at this moment. Like the amount of hate, it's exhilarating. It's really energizing. I feel like if we move forward with that energy, that's enough to get us to the end of the season. That's totally fine.
I've really kind of wanted to there to be more of a diss track equivalent in football, because you can have obviously fan chants, but they're not really from the actual club themselves. I don't know. I kind of just wish that Tottenham had more of Kendrick's energy when they played against Arsenal the other day against Chelsea. So I think we'd probably won both those games if we did, handsomely.
Why? Yeah, I mean, let's not really. Should we dig in a little bit? Just what is wrong with us, man? What is wrong with us right now? Can anybody, I've got various theories, and they range from sort of sensible ones to mad conspiracy theories to sort of ones in the middle. But I don't know where you guys stand. Lauren?
To be fair, I think there were a number of things, but I think to try and summarise quickly, I think We've got issues up top because we're not creating the right chances. I think we've got issues in midfield because it doesn't feel like we've got the right combination, or we haven't got enough in-form midfielders. And then I think not having Destiny at the back is causing us a real problem. So I just think a combination of all three of those things happening at the same time is, we're really struggling. I think if you've got one unit that isn't quite working well, you can maybe gloss over it and get through it. But I just think all three departments, we are struggling. So yeah, it's just culminating in some really hefty goals being conceded at the moment, and kind of late rallies, which fine, we're rallying, but like we've given ourselves way too much to do. So yeah, it's just not a good time right
I
now.
mean, at least there was some rallying yesterday, which obviously didn't happen at all against Chelsea. For like 10 minutes, it got quite exciting. Billy, do you agree with the assessment? Do you feel like, I don't know, I just, what's happened? It's just like that all of the air has been sucked out of the season, all of the energy.
Yeah, I think it's all of the above, and also, we've not been the same since those international tournaments. I don't know what happened there, and like to our players, but we have not really any ever down form since then. We've had a lot of injuries. I also don't think the personnel is qu quite right at the moment. I don't think Ange really knows his best midfield, as we saw another midfield against. Against Liverpool, that a different one. We saw Bentancur, Sarr, and Bissouma, which is not something we've seen much before as a three. And I think we were just completely run out of steam, which is weird to say that we've done that, one game a week. But when you play one game a week of this new kind of football, it's absolutely knackered the players in the end. And I just think we're desperate for a break and a pre-season. And I think I just, my only sort of positive out of all of this is that Ange is going to have a pretty clear idea of who is up for this and who isn't.
I mean, do you think any of them are up for it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good, good.
I do.
I'm not cross with, I mean, look, there are things that Andrew's done that I, disagree with or
Yeah.
whatever. But like, as a overall, like, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah,
Like, I'm quite angry with quite a lot of the players.
I think there's enough there to work with. There's a good
Yeah.
core of players that are most of them playing in the Premier League for the first time, and some of them will definitely be better next season when they get a bit more experience under their belt. And I think our best players of the season, sort of like your Sarr, your Udogie, Porro, etc., just because there's such little rotation options that is effective, they're just knackered. Like Porro is absolutely spent, Sarr is spent, Udogie is obviously injured because, and hopefully if we sign a few more players that we can rotate with that Ange trusts more, then Porro never ever gets subbed ever, and I think it's just cooked him. So yeah, I think Ange will be learning a lot from all this is my overall point.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, to be honest. I don't, it's just disappointing to watch, and it's disappointing. I guess you can never really put yourself in the position of these players. Like, what is it like to be absolutely knackered? And I do think, like, I think that Newcastle game just sort of took it out of everybody, really. It was just
Yeah.
like that sort of, that was such a gutting game because I just, like, it didn't feel like this before Newcastle, did it?
Yeah, and Newcastle is the one. So, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool are just three games we have terrible records in overall. And if you can sort of look at those and think, how much we really, that you can sort of take losing to those three, especially the two at Stamford Bridge and Anfield, because we've done that all my life, and we pretty much always will. I think we've won both of them once in my lifetime, or that's what it feels like anyway. But Newcastle, you think we've smashed them at home. We had, pretty decent, and a pretty decent run of form going into that game, and then it was the manner of it all as well. It just kind of felt like, I think you're right. I think that's the catalyst for just the players completely sort of losing all their confidence.
And it just happened so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think we just got steamrolled and it just feels like we're still rolling.
Yeah.
And even with the gaps between the games and, I don't know, it just feels like we haven't recovered. Yeah, whether it's a confidence thing and, I think the system that Anne just set up, I think is great. I think, we can't deny that what we saw at the beginning of the season, it was so exciting. It felt like it was like our identity. and how we want to play as a club. But I think you have to be brave to play this system. You
Yes,
can't
yes.
put in a half effort. You can't pick and choose when you want to press. You can't pick and choose when you want to track back, because we will have players who are out of position, just the nature of which we play it. And I think, we've got to be 100% all of the time. And I just don't think, yeah, maybe it's an energy thing, because with the Asian Cup, with AFCON, but it just, but at not being at 100% and at it for at least, 70, 80 minutes of the game, like we're just way off it. And I think, when we were like earlier, we were calling it our 15-minute spells, like that's just not good enough, and we've been found out. Next season we've just got to do better. We've got to be able to sustain the way that we want to play for longer than 15 minutes in a game.
Yeah, I think it is a courage thing actually as well. And maybe that's sort of an easy thing to say as someone who like doesn't play, is not involved in the game, and I don't know what it feels like to be in that moment. But there's nothing more maddening in some ways than watching players be like visibly scared to do the things that they're obviously being asked to do. Like you could, when Ange is just like screaming at the players, going, pass it forward, and they're just not, and it's going backwards or sideways or whatever. And it's like, don't be afraid to lose the ball because it doesn't matter because you're losing it anyway. So let's go. There was that energy, like even after the first Chelsea game, and we lost all of our players. And even though we lost those games, like the energy was completely different, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember that Chelsea game. I was there. I felt really emotional. It
Yeah.
just felt like, oh God, we conceded our fourth goal. Let's clap and rally round and get
Yes.
behind them and show them that we believe in them. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's a mixture. The team's lost its confidence. It feels like the fan base is losing its nerve. And it just, yeah, I think that it just feels a little bit negative and way too negative to, I think, the actual reality of
Yeah.
the situation. Like we're sat here again, it feels a bit doom and gloom, but I think it's just because of the manner of the last few games. But I think when you look at it holistically, a manager in their first season with young players, inconsistencies, hasn't had the time to build the squad that they want. Is it a surprise, like, to kind of hit this rut of form? And I know it's, as a club, we haven't lost this many games consecutively in like a generation. But equally,
Like, but also, is that like,
what
I
about
know
that
that's
fixture? Have we
true.
had that fixture run in
But
this?
also, yeah, but also, like, okay, like in theory, like, not in theory, in actuality, like, yes, fine, we haven't lost four games in a row, but we all like lived the Ramos era, which was what, 2 points from eight games. Like, okay, like, technically, those aren't, you're not losing four games in a row. But like as if this, I mean, I don't like it could potentially obviously be as bad, but like in this current moment, that is not as bad a run of form as this, as that. This is not as bad a run of form as that was.
I feel like under every manager, I think, honestly, that we've had that you can recall a run of form. It may not be result wise, but where you felt this negative
Yeah.
overcompetitive games, where you're like, well, I mean, we had it last season with Conte. When you're just kind of like, God, even towards the end of Poch's reign, you're just thinking, God, we're really struggling here. So I think it's normal. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not too deep into the stats, but I think I would like to see in another season where we've had to go to St James's Park, we've had the North London Derby, then we've had to go to Stamford Bridge, and then we've had to go to Anfield. Those are actually really tough fixtures for us, like you said, Bill. Well, most of the time we don't win those games anyway,
Yeah,
so
we
we lost them all last season, just in different order.
yeah,
So
and they wouldn't normally. They also those fixtures were not supposed to happen in this
no,
order.
yeah.
Like it's ridiculous. Like it's so maddening that I know people will say like you make your own luck and all the rest of it, and that is partly true, but also you don't. Like sometimes you're lucky or you're not lucky, right? And it's maddening that we've had like no games. Okay, that's us. But some of that is on Ange, and some of it is not on Ange. The fact that we didn't have any Europe has nothing to do with him. And then, so the fact that we've had no games, and then we have no games, and then all of a sudden we have like three horrific games in a week that shouldn't have been like that. You just can't. I feel like we've had zero breaks this season. Like, and I'm not gonna, go back and do the research, and maybe somebody has, but it's things like, I, again, this is me getting a bit more tinfoil. Like, I can't imagine we've had a single marginal decision go our way since the Liverpool game.
Yeah, it feels like that way. And
In the press
yeah.
for a mistake that wasn't our fault, it was VAR.
Exactly. Nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. Yeah. And things like Vic getting no protection from the
Especially when you
refs.
see it in a different game in the Premier League.
As in the one that's happening right now.
Yeah, and also the one Arsenal game. Those are
Fire.
two. Both of those incidents that have both been chalked off are way softer than what's been happening to Vic all
Oh my
season.
God. If we're talking about the Arsenal Bournemouth game, I honestly, my head is going to explode. When I
But the
saw that, like, quote unquote foul on Raya and then their penalty, I just, nothing like that has happened for us this season. Nothing.
one on Henderson tonight is just as
Yeah.
bad. It's just like, and tradition, that's the thing. Like tradition, you sort of expect that because goalkeepers are always overprotected by the refs. But not when it's Tottenham for some reason. It's just been a weird abnormality
Yeah.
this season. It happens to everyone else all the time. But for some reason, we have this image that's going around that we are really weak from goalkeeping set pieces, which is probably true. But if you compare it to other goalkeepers who are just the same, they seem to get the decisions and we don't, which is really, really frustrating.
It is completely insane. I've got a quick question for you, since we're sort of thinking about previous managers and previous runs of form. I'll ask you first, Billy. Has anything in this moment right now, or anything at all this season, felt as bad as losing Sheffield in the FA Cup last season?
No, it hasn't. And the reason why it hasn't is because it's a completely different stage to those kind of managers that we had at the time. And when we had, I know we spoke about this a lot at the time that he left, when he had Kane, every game felt like it was all or nothing. Like we have to get a trophy for this guy, otherwise he's going to leave us. And those managers as well with Mourinho and Conte, like if you don't win a trophy with them, they're going to go and all this kind of stuff that feeds into their whole image and their whole bravado and ego and stuff. But we're actually in a project now, hopefully. So I just kind of feel like, at the beginning of the season when we thought we're in for a painful rebuild, this is what I envisaged it to be like. And then we were kind of sold a different reality in the first 10 games. It was like, oh, actually, maybe it won't be painful at all. Maybe it'll just be brilliant. And this is the pain. This is the pain right now. So when we said, when Ange was hired at the beginning, I remember he said, all fans were saying there's going to be wobbles. It's just a shame the sort of wobbles have come at the end of the season rather than the beginning, but it's part of the hopefully it's part of the process.
It is, and I also think, because obviously, naturally, you look at things over a season, right? But I think if the club is serious about what they want to do and about what they want us to become, we have to be looking at it longer term. Like, at some point, we're going to look back at this and be like right now, we're like, it's coming at the end. It's the end of the season. We're going to look back at this and be like, those were the wobbles at the beginning. Because otherwise, I can't. Honestly, I cannot go through this again. I cannot. And I think, like, let's address this now, because there has been some, like, I can't believe people are doing Ange out already. I mean, I can, because that is football fans, and people are allowed to be upset, man. It's been a rough week.
Yeah, I think obviously when you're watching a game, like when that fourth goal goes in at Anfield, like obviously your head's hot. Like, oh, come on, guys, stop embarrassing me. And obviously you feel emotional, but
Yeah, and it's so personal. You feel like you have been attacked, man. You're like, they're not gonna lose any sleep over this. We are just gonna get, like, bantered out of our homes for it.
And I think and I think that's normal, but I think it's been a weird, it's like week or so, like seeing people just lose their minds and calling for him to be sacked. And I just think, like, even in a normal workplace, most people will have 6 month probations before they're even like willing to commit to giving you the job properly, putting you on a contract, let alone then like believing that you should be up and running and completely successful in a new role like after the first year. So I just find it really weird that we're ex I don't know what people are expecting. Like, do they expect our position in the table to be higher? Do they expect Ange to be a miracle worker? Like, I just don't really get it. Like the last time, I mean, Ange's gonna obviously he's gonna finish the season. The last time we a manager finished a season at Spurs was in 2019 when we got to the Champions League final. That feels like it was years ago because it was. And I'm just a bit confused as to like, we'll watch the games and be like, oh, this player's rubbish, this player's rubbish, we need to sell him, this person can't play this system, and say all these things. And then we're looking at Ange like, well, why isn't it working? And I just think, we have to give this man time. Like, I think we've got to apply common sense here. And I'm the same as you. Like, I cannot go through stalking Fab and looking for here we go and who we're getting linked to again, and then having to start another project and get more players to play a different system. Like, I'm tired of it. Like, if it doesn't work with Ange, okay, it doesn't work, but we need to at least try. I don't think like once like their first season is adequate trying, in my opinion. If we could look back in history, apart from if you take out I think Chelsea managers and Romelu Abramovich, because that tends to be what Chelsea managers do. But any other club, name a manager who's come in and like hit the ground running and had immediate success, like actual sustainable success, i.e. winning a Premier League, not a cup, but actually winning the Premier League. That I just don't, I feel like in the modern era, like that hasn't happened. So why are we expecting Ange and calling him a failure if he hasn't done that?
Also, let's be real, our club is a basket case.
Yeah, we're all over this.
Like if you come into an organization and you're expected to change it overnight, and that organization has been struggling in specific ways for a really long time, and then it's your fault if it's not turned around overnight. That's like honestly, that's crazy. Like if you go back to the last time we had a manager finish the season, Champions League, and then we sacked him 3 months later. Like that was a criminal decision, and we've been paying the price for it ever since. Let's be real, we had like nobody at the club understood, like whatever certain things were going on, and maybe and Pochettino was part of it as well, and maybe he was just like, I don't have the energy for this anymore. But he did say we need a rebuild. The rebuild is going to be painful. Nobody wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it. Levy was like he panicked, and it was all about getting Champions League, which we didn't even get that season, which we didn't get for the next 2 seasons.
Exactly. It's my favorite Mauricio Pochettino quote. You can't build a new house and not replace the furniture inside. And it's honestly, it's my favorite thing that he ever said. He was completely right. And now we still have the house. And now, do you know what? We've got furniture from Argos, from IKEA, from Currys. We've just got furniture all over the place.
And we just keep getting new people in so I can like move the same shit around and being like, I don't like it. It's not working.
And I think one of the things that I think we talk about a lot with our club and recruitment and how rubbish we've been, we're actually a really bad selling club. Like we're worse at selling than we are buying. So not only have we got this furniture that's registered in the squad this season and a big chunk of it we need to sell, we've also got furniture that is sat outside in the back garden that also needs selling. And it's just kind of like there's so much work to be done, I think, behind the scenes to actually then create an environment where a manager can be successful. We've started that, but there's still like so much to be done. And it's kind of like, we've had a really talented coach in Poch. We've then hired certified winners. We've then gone, well, actually we made a blip and we hired Nuno because I don't really know where to place him. But then like
Because
we've
no one else would take the
got
job. We couldn't get anyone to take the job. Like, that's another worry. You want to get rid of Ange? Who's coming next? But anyway, continue, sorry.
And it's kind of like, and now we've got like, and now we've got Ange, and it's a case of, it cannot be that all of these managers have failed for no reason. It clearly means that behind the scenes we have to keep adapting, and we have done that obviously with Scott Mann, with what's his name, the guy that came from Aston Villa. He's
Man, yeah.
So I think, we are changing the structure and the way that we do things. But like you said, organizational culture, you can't just be like, right, we're a club with no success for the last, 25, 30 years. We've made all these changes. Tomorrow we're going to win something. Like it doesn't work like that. Like this isn't Football Manager. This isn't FIFA career mode. Like this is real life. So like we are going to have to be patient.
Yeah, co-signed. I've got some other ranty bits to add, but Billy, I want you to take the floor as well because I'm sure you also have your thoughts.
Yeah, I just completely echo what Lauren is saying. I just think, there isn't really an alternative to doing this, what we're doing now. There isn't some, as God knows that we've seen over the last few years, we can't just go and hire a manager like Conte or Mourinho and they're going to come in and win trophies. It's not going to happen for us. It's not the way that we operate. No, it doesn't work for anyone. That's not worked for anybody over the last 5, 10 years. Chelsea is a kind of different case because they kind of mixed a project with, insane amounts of money and stuff. So that isn't, we're never ever going to do that. So it's certainly not going to work for us. And I hate to draw the comparison all the time to Arsenal, but it's kind of a meaningful model for us because we're such similar clubs in size, and we're at kind of a very similar point in the journey and what they were a few years ago. And they've only had 2 seasons of sustained success, in terms of league title challenges, because they just chose a guy and stuck with him. And that's the point we're at now. And this is the difficult bit. We've gone through the easy bit of getting loads of managers, getting rid of them all the time. That's easy to fire a manager, get a new one in. This is the hard bit where you stick by a manager, and we're going to be at the hard bit now. And it's up to our owners to get through the hard bit. Again, I hate to keep to say it, the way that Arsenal did. You have to let him be the one to make the decisions now and say, these are the players I want to keep, these are the players I don't want to keep, these are the players I want to buy. And we're at a point now where we just have to say, right, let's do it. Let's do exactly that. And I just hope that we're at a situation where I personally believe that he's done enough to warrant that. I definitely, I think you make a really good point. At the moment, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United are all looking for new managers, and there's not much out there. I think, there's reports that Tuchel is talking to both Bayern Munich, talking to both Chelsea and Man United after leaving Bayern Munich. I would not want to be starting this again with Thomas Tuchel. I just, we've done enough,
Honestly, I would just be, I
done it
think
so
at that
many
point, I would
times.
just be like, I'm out. I can't have another manager come in and spend another year like reassessing the squad.
And especially someone like him who tends to last 2, 3 years at a club max anyway, because he falls out of everyone else. He's already fallen out of everyone at Bayern Munich already. It's just not a good fit for us. He's another ex-Chelsea manager. There's nothing available. There is nothing. So, let's just give this a proper go. And if we're having the same conversation this time next year, then it might be time to rebuild those conversations. But it's madness to even think about it now, I think. I can completely understand that people are worried and frustrated. I am too, but I think Ange is, and that's the most important thing. I think he knows exactly what's going on. I trust him to do that. And I think, let's just see where we are this time next year. For God's sake, for once in our lives.
Once in our sorry lives. And I will add to that, like in terms of what I think Ange has shown us, we've seen the football that he wants to play. At a certain point, they could do it. I believe they will do it again. I understand that teams have figured out how to play against us, but I also think with some new personnel that we will become more difficult to play against again. And I also think that Ange will make the necessary changes, not necessarily to his style, but we just won't be. I don't know. Like I trust him to do it. He's shown what he can do, and he also, people sort of hand wave. They sort of say, "Oh, he's a great communicator." So what? As if like being a great communicator isn't like a massively important part of being a football manager, and like being a successful football manager. So that to me, everything that he says shows that he knows what he's doing. There are things that you can argue with, like the stuff about set pieces, fine, and certain substitutions that he may have made, certain kind of, players that he's not playing the way he's. I mean, I don't even like, I think he's obviously got to the point in the season now where he's like, okay, fine, like I need to kind of shuffle, keep reshuffling the pack. Like it's a shame he's had to because the players are so out of form, but, at least he's kind of trying something new than rather than sticking with the same 11. So I just think you can have queries with sort of individual decisions that he makes, and that's fine. And I also think it is a massive, massive step up. That's obvious. Like it's not like managing, it's not like managing Celtic. But that doesn't mean, so that just might mean it's just going to take him a bit longer as well to figure it out. And that's also fine. But my final thing as well is I think, and I've said this before, but I really, and I've said this now so many times over the last couple of days, like I'm sure like literally everybody has heard me, but I do just want to say it one more time. I think the way we have changed managers so often has bred a culture of absolute complacency among the players. It doesn't matter who the players are, that's an institutional problem. It means they know there's no consequences. When they give up, they down tools, or they're not playing to the best of their abilities. It doesn't matter because it'll be the manager's head on the block, and another manager will come in and they'll get another season's grace while that manager assesses them. And you just cannot have that. And we need to make it absolutely clear to all of the players that if it's a choice between them or the manager, it's the manager.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I actually think that's probably where Liverpool have been able to sustain their performance levels as they have done, because it has been everybody before Klopp. Like, that's been the mentality, I think, amongst the fan base, that we've got the manager, so we have to find the players. And if you're not the right player, you will be gone. And obviously, I think the wheels have come off because they know that he's leaving. But I agree. Like, and I also think, like, even though I don't want to see them on the pitch, the likes of like a Brian Hill coming on, or an Emerson or something, I also feel like it's a signal to the board to be like, well, look, they can't play my style. Like, you know, they can't play at this level, so we're gonna have to sell them. But the only way I think that you can communicate that message upwards, that I've got players in my squad who I'm having to play who I don't particularly want to, and I would like to sell them, is actually by getting them on the pitch, and you know, we're painfully having to watch them fail at what they're being asked to do. So yeah, I think I agree. I just think we've got to get out of this rut, I think, as fans, of just because we laugh and joke about Chelsea and how they sack the manager every 2 minutes, and we're trying to do the same thing. So yeah, I think we've got to build this either you fit and you work hard, like a Romero, for example. You either embody that mentality or learn how to get there. And if you don't want to, if you want to live the life of complacency, then we sell you. But I think that also comes with uplifting, you know, like the actual quality of the squad. Because if, I don't know, I'm not going to pick up, I'm not saying him specifically, but if Porro, for example, decided to down tools, that he couldn't really be bothered, in the back of his mind, there's no replacement for him. He's a first team player. We don't really have an adequate number backup. So I do think we've got to keep improving the squad to actually promote, you know, real competition. So like, when I see arguments about Dragosin, oh, why did we buy him? He must hate being here. Nobody says that when there's John Stones, an Ake, and then Akanji comes in, or Gvardiol gets bought. Nobody says that at big clubs. It's a case of actually we need multiple good players for each position. So I think we've got to. It's all about changing our mentality as the fan base to be like, no, we should have first team players, but more than 11 of them, because that's the only way that we're going to drive up the standards.
Yep, totally agreed. Just another shout out to our beloved Romero, who again has been like the only player. Like, what a story, man. Like, of all the players, obviously he's a brilliant player, but of all the players you thought would be ending this season, like, with his head held the highest, can anybody honestly say they thought it would be Christian Romero?
No, and especially after that sort of Chelsea game when he got sent off, and then it was like, gonna not be able to rely on him again. And I think since that moment, he's really, I mean, he's just been in a very dark period. He's been sort of the only light that's been light present in all of it, I think. He sort of really seems to buy into Ange completely, and he does that from his social media as well. And just the leadership on the pitch is just really, really important. And I think, let's get him a new contract while he's feeling like this, because he's one of the best players in Europe.
We have to keep him at all costs.
Yeah.
Like, he is the one for
Yeah.
sure.
I voted for him as player of the season because I
He's
thought,
going to be my
yeah,
vote as
same.
well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's no one
He's
that's been
my
more
vote.
consistent than him. Okay, the Chelsea game. But I think, yeah, he just leads by example. And he play like, I feel like he plays every single game like this is the last game he's ever going to be able to play football. I like it, and I think we, you know, we've got all of like the players need to kind of get to that level, because if not, you know, when you look at the dominance that Man City have had, for example, because I think one of the things that we haven't really discussed is whilst we're trying to strengthen, there are a group of teams who are better than us and are still spending more money and strengthening more than we are. So every season it does just get harder, and I think.
Yeah.
We're going to have not just need to have more quality, we're going to have players with the mentality like Romero to go back to be battle hardy, and when the going gets tough, just still push. And we can't just fade away when it gets a bit hard as a team. They've still got to push themselves.
But also, that is a very rare quality, I think. And that's why it is really exceptional at Manchester City. Like, you really fucking see it, don't you? It's like at this point of the season, where pretty much every other team, except maybe the one sort of fighting for their lives, is sort of tailing off. Like, it happens to most teams. We're not unusual. Like, we're obviously doing it in a kind of more unpleasant and embarrassing way. But like, they just get stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look what is going on right now. Man United are losing 4-0 to Crystal Palace.
4-0 now. Oh my
Yeah.
God, that is so
Could have
delicious.
been five. They just hit the post like a few minutes ago.
Oh my God, incredible.
It's a context thing, isn't it? I mean, so now we're at a point after this game that if we beat Sheffield United and Burnley, then we finish fifth regardless. So, I mean, if our absolute misery is finishing fifth in Nandy's first season, then I think that says a lot.
Should we look forward to Burnley then? Did anybody
Yes.
have anything else they want to say? I feel like we've covered it. I'm sure we'll have to circle back to it at the end of the season. Although hopefully everyone will be a bit more cheerful then. How are we all feeling about Burnley? They're obviously fighting for their lives, aren't they?
I think they are, but they're kind of not, because I think they're just, I don't think they have much life. Do you know what I mean? I think
Yeah, they're not very
pretty
good.
much, except then
Yeah.
I don't imagine that they haven't had much hope of staying up. It's not like they're 1 point away from survival, and if they beat
No,
us.
I think they have to beat us just to not get relegated
Yeah,
next
yeah. Which I think
right.
will be good for us, because they'll have to play. And I can't imagine we won't win this game. Famous last words, but come on, let's burn it.
We do have more quality
Yeah, we just
than
got.
them, even with our kind of absences. I think it will help us, because I think a Vincent Kompany side wouldn't play a low block anyway, but equally, they have to outscore us. So I think it will help us kind of play our football a little bit. We'll have a bit more freedom. But yeah, I think it's hard playing a relegation side, like when they have got
Yeah.
something to fight for, because when we talk about mentality and when it's crunch time, these are players that we're going to be playing a team that's also going to turn up or try to anyway. So we've got to be on it. But I think our home form hasn't been anywhere near as bad as our away form. So I look and think, I know the players have told us like three times they're gonna bounce back, but I trust them that this will be the match.
Surely this one.
Yeah.
But also, like, I maintain we shouldn't have lost the North London derby. Like, I don't care. Like, that may be like a ridiculous hill to die on, but I will die on it anyway. So we shouldn't be going into it off the back of four defeats. Fucking hell, it's really bad. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We move. Lineups, Billy.
So I'm going to say something which I never would have ever thought I would be saying,
I think I know what it is. It's gonna be incredible.
and I think Oliver Skipp's got to start a left back against Burnley,
I think
which is an
so.
insane thing to say out loud, but I think it's got to happen.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. Like, Emerson can't play there after this week.
Just for Romero's sake as
Yeah,
well. Like,
it's
he's
got.
like visibly disgusted with him. So.
He looked pretty decent there, man. He looked pretty good. He definitely looked a lot better than Emerson did, and he gave. There's a couple of really good tackles on Salah. He can also play inverted, because he is a midfielder, don't forget. That's what that is. That's his meat and drink. So yeah, I would just do it. I mean, what else? I mean, what else is there to go for? Like, we,
A bit worse than what we've seen.
yeah. And then
I don't
I
think we can see Emerson again. I
no,
will. I
I don't
mean,
either.
listen, I'll forgive Ange many things, but I'm just like, we
Yeah.
can't. It can't happen.
And then in terms of the rest of the team, I would probably start the team that finished against Liverpool. So Richarlison, Son, Rob Johnson, then Maddison. I can't remember exactly who was in midfield at that point, but that's the team that I would start. I'd start the team that finished against Liverpool, because we actually played some pretty decent football then.
Okay, Lauren. I
I
think,
think
yeah, I agree with Richarlison, absolutely. And also, don't put Brennan on the left ever
no.
again. Or at
Yeah.
least not until he's like grown up enough to
Yeah.
play across those positions. He's not ready.
Yeah, he's yeah, bless him. I think yeah, back four. Skippy's got to play there because, I was not familiar with his game. I was like, oh,
He's
like,
good.
yeah, I was like,
What a mini redemption arc this could be. He's
yeah.
basically he's barely played all season.
And the thing is, I don't think he's like a purely like defensive player because I actually think he's quite intelligent. So I think he actually, it felt like he was watching the game and thought, oh, okay, this is where Emerson's getting done. I need to be switched on, type thing. So yeah, I would like to see him start there. I don't know if it's too attacking, but part of me thinks Maddison and Lascelles should play together. And whether we put Bentancur behind them in terms of, I don't know, or if he's going to go with Bissouma, I don't know. It feels like because we're really struggling in attack, we need technical ball playing midfielders at the moment in our midfield because it just feels like we can't, we're turn like we're losing the ball so much because our forwards keep like they're not holding the ball up. So I think if we, I don't know, I feel like I want to chuck some technical ball players into the midfield and see how it goes. And then yeah, Rishi up top, Brennan off the right and Sonny off the left.
So you
And I
think
think the thing is,
Madders deserves a start again?
yeah,
Like, do you?
I would love this. I was really frustrated with him for a couple of games, but like I, none of our midfield is really performed. The only midfielder I wouldn't put in there is Lo Celso because I don't know. Like I feel like every time he's come on, he's looked like he wants to get his foot on the ball and drive us forward. So I think he deserves a start. I don't think that Maddison is really performing any worse now than pretty much the rest of
The whole
our
rest of
midfield. So I think, well, rotating back in because it just feels like I think Billy said it earlier in the episode. Ange, I don't think Ange knows at the moment like what the strongest midfield is. So we are
Yeah.
rolling the dice. So this is a new combo, but.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? I mean, the thing is, that's what's really unfortunate, isn't it? That he's kind of, this whole season has just been completely like back to front.
Yeah.
Like
And
he knew what his best 11 was right at the beginning. And now it's just like, oh God, now we don't know who's in form, who's fit, where can we put this player or that player? Like, it's chaos.
yeah, absolutely. And I think it's hard because I think when we think of our best 11, we've just that there are multiple players in that 11 who are out of form. So I think it's difficult because if they're not doing what he's asked them to do, he's then trying to tinker somewhere else to try and get something out of it. And it's just, yeah, I think we lack consistency. But yeah, it's not easy if you said this is the game plan, go and do this, guys, and then they're not doing it. As a manager, then you do have to make changes. But I don't think we've kind of hit on a change that's worked yet over the last kind of few weeks.
There's always, yeah, exactly. Well, we've got three more games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got two relegation teams,
What could possibly go? One team's already relegated. What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, Sheffield have conceded 100 Premier League goals. If we cannot
That's
score
pretty
any goals
spectacular.
against, we should be embarrassed. So,
No, and we're already embarrassed. Actually, do you know what? I
there's
refuse to be
new low.
embarrassed. Tottenham, you you're my team, but like I refuse to let you embarrass me. It's what you do is on you. It's not on me. Billy, anything else you want to add about Burnley?
No, I just th think with Lauren's midfield there, I think that's a good idea because it's Burnley, man. Like, what are we going to have to defend against? Like, it's just if we can't, and I agree, we have to get our best ballers on the pitch as we can because it's just not working. No combination of the three that he seems to be picking at the moment seems to be having any fluidity at all. So if you've got players like Bentancur, Lo Celso, Maddison, you're going to have the ball, you're going to make chances. So let's just go for it. It's Burnley at home. Do we really need that many defensive players on the pitch to beat them? So yeah, I would like to see something like that as well. I have a feeling that Lo Celso won't feature because I think Ange's given up on him. And I get the impression that he's marked Højbjerg and Lo Celso as players that he's not going to see next season. So he's not investing any sort of minutes in them beyond the odd sub here and there. So I don't think I would love to see Lo Celso start because I think every time he comes on, he looks one of our brightest midfielders, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think he'll go
Yeah,
elsewhere.
it's just too late in Lo
Yeah.
Celso's sort of journey with us, isn't it? That's the real shame. Like, even if he had like a bit more time, like a bit more time on his contract almost? Is it
And
like the timing thing?
yeah, and what also we might see Kulusevski in the 10 or the 8 because I think it's the Liverpool game proved he's just not. And I mean, we've been saying this for a long time now. He's just not an Ange winger. I'm sorry, but he can't. He's not the things that we need to do for Ange wingers, like beating a man. It's not his strengths. He's an incredibly technical player who can make passes through the lines and stuff, hold the ball up really well, much better than most of our other players can. So I don't think we'll see him in the wing either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fingers fucking crossed, frankly. All right, let's have a quick look at what happened with the women at the weekend. Also up in Liverpool at Everton. This initially looked like it was going to be really scary because we were 2-0 down after what, like 20 minutes? And then we came back to score two goals and maybe should have won it, I think, Lauren.
I think the start was obviously calamity, especially the second goal, because it just awkwardly bounced off of Beth's head in the wrong direction. But I
Just
think
getting that out of the way before the next weekend. That's it. That's what
yeah
I'm
yeah
saying.
it's kind of like, come on guys, set pieces. But I'm not gonna I can't be bothered to, I'm so tired of that talk about set pieces.
Yeah.
I think, but you know what, actually, I think I said this before. It's different with the women's team because I feel like when we go behind or when we go two behind, and it was two behind, there wasn't a part of me that thought we're going to lose this game. It was just kind of like
Yeah.
okay, setback, but I know these women will bounce back. I know that they will still stick to the game plan and still continue to play the way that they've been asked to. But I think obviously getting one goal back like just before half time, I think it just makes your team talk a lot easier, I think. But yeah, and then obviously we scored early on the second half. I mean, and then yeah, unfortunately, Courtney Brosnan, their goalkeeper, decided to be prime Manuel Neuer again.
Yeah, she always has a good game against us, doesn't she?
She saved every bloody thing. Like it was so,
Just
I was getting really pissed off at her because I was like,
fucking drop
oh,
it, just for
like,
once.
yeah, it was really frustrating because I actually think it was. I think leading into the final, it's a good game to have because we created so many chances. Our football was actually quite fluid, in the way that we were playing. But I think it was a combination of we could have been more clinical, but also just coming up against a goalkeeper that was having a worldie. But yeah, I think we could have won it. But I think if there's a way to draw, then it's like that because I think by the end, Everton hanging on.
Yeah.
Well, their goalkeeper, to be fair, she won them that point.
Yeah. And I just think I can't actually remember what I was going to say. I cannot remember what I was going to say. I just feel like actually as a game, it wasn't, despite being 2-0 down, it wasn't a super stressful watch at all. I felt quite calm the whole time. I thought it doesn't, like, this is going to be fine. And I do think, like, this is a team. Like a few months ago, like in the middle of this very season, we got thumped 7-0, and we've come back from that. And that's a more sort of traditional arc to a season, I guess, right? You kind of start well, there's a dip in the middle, and then you come back to finish more strongly. But I think that more, to me, that more speaks to actually, if you put in a bit of effort into the women's team, into the women's game, like the rewards at this point will be exponentially greater just because of the levels of competition. It's just that you're not sort of scrapping for every tiny thing like you are in the men's game just because of the levels and the amount of money and the amount of people involved. It's just a whole, it's different with the women's game. So I think it just shows when you put in the investment, you are much more likely to get results, I think. And I think that's what we've seen this season. So I feel, I don't know, sort of like, how are you feeling going into the weekend? By the way, everyone, it's the cup final on Sunday. I don't know if
All right. Do you know what? I think I'm excited. I think, it's an FA Cup final. It's such a huge day, I think, for the club, for especially everyone that's been on this journey with Spurs Women. Like it's just a massive, massive day. I think a day that we had always dreamed would come, but had no real realistic hope as when we started this season would come so soon.
And definitely not when we were getting thumped 7-0.
Exactly. And I think, we've come so far in such a short space of time. And I think we've confirmed sixth in the league, which is a top half finish. No one, we can't be caught, but we can't catch anyone else. So I think when you look at our season and think, again, having to start a new project, new manager, brand new ideas, playing a different style of football, actually, that the women's team have ever been asked to play before. Obviously brought in some players, but it's still a mishmash, in terms of a squad. I think to get a top half finish, to be in our first ever cup final, I think is huge. And I think, obviously really, really want to win the game. You don't want to go all the way to Wembley and lose, but I think whatever happens, we can be so proud of everything that we've gone through, I think, to be here. And I think we're a really resilient team. We've had tough times this season. Not everything's run smoothly, and I think even from a game by game basis, most of the time the games don't run smoothly. We start off badly, we lose it, and we're having to like most a lot of the time this season we literally had to come from behind. But I think it just and but I think that shows a team that is various levels of inconsistency because we're a new team in terms of what we're actually trying to do. But I think the heart and the desire of this team is huge, and I think it's nice going into this thinking the players that we need to have good games on Sunday are coming into form. Beth is scoring again. Martha came back. Drew Spence is has looks like she's got to full fitness and she's playing well. Evelina, who I've been so critical of actually recently, she had a really, really good game. So I think the players that we are going to need to have big games on Sunday, it just feels like they're starting to get their confidence back. So I think, we're going to give United a game. I think we'll push them all the way. And I would much rather be us thinking, we drew against Everton and had a hatful of chances rather than them who had lost in a really miserable way to Liverpool
I mean,
yesterday.
honestly, shout out to Liverpool. I have to say, I'm not envious of them because we're going to a cup final, but like, what a season they've had.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice to feel like we're part of like the new set that can be just hopefully just pushing the old lot out over the next couple of years.
It's such a good thing for the league, I think, to think that outside of the big four, there are teams that actually we're going to have to play really well to beat them. We can't rotate and play our second string team because they actually might lose. I think Liverpool have had a phenomenal season. I think Matt Beard is a great coach. I think they've made the right investment in the right places. And I think us and a Liverpool a testament. I think you can see that we're chomping at the bit, but to kind of make that change. But I think again, it's going to be the Spurs hierarchy holding their nerve, putting their money where their mouth. We've seen it with Aston Villa this season. Like you have a really good season, and then you can massively drop off. We saw it with Ryan Skinner when we finished fifth, and then we dropped off. So I think we've got to give Ange the keys and do everything he wants, and we've got to do the same with Robert. And I think regardless of whether we win that FA Cup or not, we've got to keep building and we've got to invest because the women are giving us everything and more, I think, this season from a team. I think if you support and you follow both teams, it's been nice having this team because it's like let me out every time they walk out onto the pitch. So I think as a reward for everything they are putting in, and even the likes of like Ash Neville, Jess Naz, who have been here for ages and were training not properly professionally at rubbish grounds when we were playing on shit pitches and all of these type of things, they committed to the club and they kept pushing themselves. And I think the fact that these players as well are going to get to walk out at Wembley, it's special. And I think we want to be able to propel someone like Jess Naz's career, but we want her to stay and be a full like she can do it at Spurs, not.
She's going to be, a legend for us.
So I think it's good times.
And just shows, man, just shows how quickly things can change in football. That's the reality. You can feel like you're down, and then all of a sudden, that's something amazing is just around the corner. Do you think that Molly is going to start on Sunday?
Oh, well, I don't know. I think it depends on the severity of Amy's knock.
Mm.
I have to say, we looked a little bit, we went back to looking a bit disorganized.
We did, and that's not on Molly because that could just be
Yeah.
like Luana and Amy have just been playing together for ages now and the communication sorted.
Yeah.
So
So.
that's the issue, isn't it? So would you say like if Amy's back to full fitness, then she'll probably start.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so. I think her actual kind of no nonsenseness about her defending can really help, I think, in big games, because it's, you know, she's I think if she's gonna sometimes she's gonna clear the ball when we need to clear the ball, and we'll just do that, or she needs to fly in and make the challenge, you know, I think she'll do that. So I think her kind of experience of kind of, I think the like the dirty part of defending, I think that will really help us. So I think for the way that she's played, like in this calendar year especially, she deserves to start.
Yeah.
So
And also, that's just nice for me.
those words are coming out
No, no,
my
this
mouth.
is it, man. You just don't know where football is going to take you. You never, ever, ever know. What do you, yeah, so let's do, okay, so if Amy's fit, she starts with Luana, and then we'll have Ash and Amanda, I presume,
Yeah.
at fullback. And then I assume it will be Drew and Evelina in the middle. That seems to be
Yeah.
his preferred central midfield
Yeah.
pairing.
And I'm thinking then maybe Beth at the 10.
Jess up top.
Yes, up top, maybe Celine off the right and Matilda off the left.
Yeah, I think that looks good to me. I've been so impressed with Matilda when I've seen her. I love her invention. I love how strong she is. She to me, like when we got her and Robert was like, she's one of the players for the future. Like I see that as well, but it's been very cool to see her kind of step up and slot in this moment when she's needed to, really. But she
Yeah.
again is like, she's exactly the kind of right type of profile of player that we want, I think. She's really strong, she's really technical,
Absolutely. I
all the
think
stuff we like.
she's actually she's adapted quicker. Yeah, I think than any of us thought she would. And I think they her and Amanda have got an understanding, I think, of when they played together on the left. Obviously they're country compatriots as well. But yeah, I think, you know, I think people always, like, when they look at us and they don't do a lot of research about our team. Obviously, people talk about Grace Clinton all of the time, and she has been great for us. But I actually think when you look at the likes of Jess Naz, when you look at Matilda, even the likes of Charlie, like we are and Celine, we are a club that can help and develop and build young players,
Yep.
and we're doing that across the board. So yeah, I think it's really nice. I think personally, like, that's the balance that I would rather see.
Yeah.
Like I really like, if that graphic comes out and it looks like Beth's on the wing, I may cry. So I just think she should stay in the middle of the park. And I think maybe it's harsh on Martha, but I don't know, obviously, because she feels like she's kind of always, like, it feels like she's managing a hamstring injury. So I think,
Well, so we know we can bring her on. That's the beauty of it. We know that Robert can, like, move players, the players that he's got, he can move them around, he can bring players on. Like we've got, yeah, to be able to bring on Martha Thomas, who is such a big game player, is
yeah,
huge.
absolutely. And I think that's where I almost feel like the game's going to be won in its subs, and
Yeah.
staying that game plan and translate the ideas and stay as a cohesive team. And I think that if we're going to beat United, I think it will be there, because I think when I look at the way that United play, there are some players that will worry me if I see them in the starting lineup, like Lucia Garcia, Jace, just because they're tricky direct wingers and they're difficult to defend against. But I feel like when you ask them to play and you stretch them out over a course of a game, and then he is making subs, that kind of mismatch nature of the way their squad is, I think it will work in our favor, because we know that if Martha comes on for Beth, for example, or Shuang comes on for Matilda, it doesn't deviate. Like the way that we're playing as a football team won't change. It just kind of, we just get new energy and
Yeah.
but we kind of inject ourselves with that, but we don't look confused as a
Yep.
football.
Yeah, everybody knows what they're doing, and it's, and the individual players bring in like different ideas. Like especially someone like Shuang, who I think just to me always seems like
Again, another one.
she's full of
Yeah.
invention, man. She's just like she's so busy. So like, where can I make things happen? It's really fun
Yeah.
to watch.
And I think I would like watching her against Everton, it feels like she's like run the injury off, which is really good. It feels like she's up to match sharpness now. And again, another player where you can see why she was brought in to the squad. And yeah, I think she's now, I think, playing with more confidence. So you're right that she's trying new things. And again, someone that adds something when she's on the pitch. I think she is someone that can that makes us play more directly, and she helps us get to goal quicker when we need to. So yeah, I don't know. I'm like it's a really nice problem to have, where we're thinking about what the sub's gonna add to us. Because even like we talk about the forward players, like we're gonna have the likes of Olga, Kit Graham probably to like bring off the bench as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and it's kind of weird, like looking at obviously the WSL. Obviously Liverpool beat Chelsea, but then City lost to Arsenal. So that we know that we've got Chelsea to play like a couple of days afterwards. Like, what? I'm just
Who
in.
even cares, man? That's
Yeah,
the
but I'm just
thing.
like I'm just thinking about like it would be so nice to go to Brisbane Road for that game, and they bring out the FA Cup trophy
Oh my God,
and
I'm
throw in
dreaming
front
about
of
it,
us. Like,
man. I
yeah.
know. Can you imagine? Do you think they'd
Yeah.
bring it out, or do you think they'd save it for like our last game at the stadium?
I feel like everywhere we go, that trophy should be following us.
Very true. Very
Like
true.
the
Everyone
way
gets to see it all the
they
time. Yeah.
bring
Fuck
out
it.
Brisbane Road, bring it out at the end of the season. Like honestly, like show it in training.
Yeah,
Like,
man.
yeah, I think, we've got the opportunity of a lifetime. I think we'll prepare well. I saw a picture that we've already been to the stadium,
Yeah.
so they could familiarize themselves with the surroundings. And I think this is where Robert is a great coach. He's so calm, and in terms of putting the right building blocks in the organization in place to make sure we won't be too overawed by the occasion. So yeah, I feel like what would he say? To dare is to do. So
Exactly.
yeah,
To
that
dare
kind
is to
of
do. Listen, anything is possible. And honestly, those women have shown us, I think, haven't they?
yeah. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's just so nice having them, because they don't, it just feels like whatever happens, even if we concede early or something, we won't be rattled by it. We will pick ourselves up, we will keep going. And yeah, I genuinely feel like we've got the quality and the know-how within the squad to get ourselves over the line.
Yeah, I do too. That's well exciting, well scary. I'm very excited to be hanging out with you on Sunday.
Yeah, can't
Literally,
wait.
literally can't wait. And hopefully we'll have a delirious pod to deliver the day
Yeah.
after. But either way, we'll be super duper proud. All
Yeah.
right, let's wrap it all up with a bit of culture. You have had just one of those lovely bank holiday Mondays, haven't
Yes, I have.
you?
Oh, yeah, you messaged me about the app, and I was like, oh, sorry, I was in the cinema. So I've actually
I was like,
got.
well, what's a cinema?
I know, yeah, like a
That
couple of.
sounds nice.
But yeah. So I went to cinema today to watch Challengers, which the first thing I'll say is a really aesthetically pleasing film to watch. Like the cinematography, way they've shot it, it's kind of like it's set in the modern day, but because of the filters and the lighting, whatever they've used, it almost feels retro. Like it feels like this, like it's just different eras, even though it will be like, oh, like it starts at the beginning and they'll be like, oh, 2019. So it's a really like nice film to watch. I highly recommend like trying to get to a cinema and watching it on a big screen.
That's very much his vibe, the director. Have you seen his other films?
Please, I'm like
I'm
that.
so sorry. I'm
Okay.
gonna tell you. Okay, so he did Call Me by Your Name,
Yeah,
which is I think the only Oh no, there's a couple of others that he's done that I haven't seen, but that one of that was like the big sort of Timothée Chalamet breakout movie. But you, it's literally impossible to watch now because it also has Armie Hammer, and obviously since weird Cannibal Gate,
Oh,
like
yeah.
really, who can watch anything with him in it? So that's why I've not seen that. But he also did I Am Love and A Bigger Splash with Tilda Swinton, and they're very similar movies, just incredibly beautiful people acting in a very sort of chaotic way in like luxurious locations. They
Yeah.
look exquisite.
Yeah, I would say Challengers is very sexy. You can see that tone. Like there's just that, like there's all that underlying erotic tone in some of the scenes. But like I feel like Zendaya just plays that kind of dark, slightly twisted character really well as well. I feel
Yeah.
like that in her bag. And for a tennis film, because I always feel like it's hard to do a sport film when you have to actually like when the like it's not easy, but I actually feel like the whole way through the film there's a particular match that's being played, and then they will jump backwards in time to kind of explain how they've got there, but it
Oh,
then comes
okay.
back and they play more of the match, and as you're kind of building up to the end, and I just think it's really well made. But even some of the shots, like honestly, at some points I was like in my seat flinching because like the tennis balls were coming directly at the
Oh,
screen.
right. So they've actually filmed it really well in terms
Yeah.
of, because I think tennis is quite good for film. Like there are some sports that are like suited better, and I think tennis is sort of all right.
Yeah, it's weird because I just feel like it was kind of like feel like because it wasn't it was it didn't feel like a sport film. However, the tennis actually like was such a big part of it. But yeah, I think it was delivered really well. And yes, I think three kind of great performances. The only like I would say it's probably like a 9 out of 10. The only reason why I took one off is that, and you'll see this from my second culture pick, I am someone who likes closure in my film.
Oh, yeah,
Like,
okay.
I don't, I'm more of a TV show person because that gives me time to like delve and get attached to shows. And then I'll commit to a show over a number of days, weeks, or sometimes years if you're waiting for these series to come out. And I feel like a film is like, I've given you like 2 hours of my time. Like, I want to leave happy and move on with my life. I don't want to think, oh.
What happened there? What did that all mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And the like the ending, I won't spoil it and say what the ending is, but it's an open ending.
Okay.
So I kind of just like everyone in the cinema went, what? When like the credits popped up.
That's quite good to know going in, actually, because I think if you know, then that then you're sort of more relaxed about it. Whereas when you're just like, pardon,
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure you just cut off like the next like
you
5 minutes.
forget enough? Yeah, did you forget a
Yeah,
scene?
like there was a couple of scenes you could have put at the end. So like that was the only because I'm the type of person and like I like closure in my films. I was just a bit like, okay. And I was kind of like, well, do I stay in my seat in case they're like doing a Marvel and there's like another scene at the end? But
That would have been really hilarious if that had
yeah,
happened.
it really was just finished like that. But
I love it. All films should have that.
yeah, it is quite because it kind of it. I think well. This doesn't need a sequel, so I really hope they don't make another one. But I feel like they often use that because you think, oh, okay, something else is coming. But yeah, very, very good film. Happy
I think
that
he quite enjoys, he doesn't do sequels, but he quite enjoys films that sort of explore the same things. Essentially, he's making the same movie over and over again, and that's fine. It looks good. It's
another moment.
enjoyable. Yeah. You got another one, haven't you?
Yes, and the And the reason why I love this film and I particularly love this genre is because they always give you happy closures. So Anne Hathaway's new film, The Idea of You, which is on Amazon Prime, I think it literally just come out. It is a traditional elite rom-com that we used to get, like
Yes. Oh my God, like for real, like a prop.
yeah,
Oh
like
my
a
God, this
yeah.
genre is so like misunderstood, misused. Like when you get a proper romantic comedy, man, nothing can beat it. Nothing.
Like the emotions were there. I was welling up.
Oh my
And
God, I'm so excited about this. I can't believe it.
I was so happy to be watching it because I was like, all these shitty rom-coms that they make now, or when they cosplay Christmas films and they're all rubbish. And I'm like, I would never watch this again. And I feel like I watched this and thought, this is going into my rom-com rotation.
Oh my God, that is an enormous shout.
Yeah, I really
Incredible.
love it. And I haven't read the book, but it is based on a book. And in true rom-com fashion, they changed the ending to give us closure. And that
Yes.
is why I love rom-coms, because I've invested maybe 90 minutes, 2 hours of my time, and I want a nice, good ending, and I can move on with my life, or I can rewatch it. And yeah, it was really good. I love Anne Hathaway. I feel like she doesn't get enough flowers for some of her performances. Like even like I really loved The Princess Diaries when they
Yeah,
first came
ma'am.
out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of good to kind of see her in a good performance. And it was weird because it's set in the US, but there's like a British twist in it. So
Oh, okay.
like Graham Norton, the Graham Norton show, like pops up. Adele's in it as well. So yeah, but I really enjoyed watching it. And I will, yeah, highly recommend. And I think we spoke about this earlier, but you'll really enjoy it, so please watch
I
it.
already like, I know I'm going to love it. And I do also love Anne Hathaway. Discovered today. She's a massive Arsenal fan, which is quite disturbing. But whatever, we'll forgive her. I maintain, have you ever seen Rachel Getting Married?
No.
That isn't like, if you like the Hathaway, and if you can still like the Hathaway despite knowing she's an Arsenal fan, like that to me, like she should have won an Oscar for that performance. Like, hands down, that's the best thing I've ever seen her in. And that was the moment where I was like a doubter and I became a believer.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that because I
Like, shout out to anyone who hasn't seen it. Like, tremendous, tremendous film. It's pretty dark. And she plays a character who, in any other, like, there's just so few actors who can pull it off because she's a nightmare person. She's a nightmare person. But, like, you are so sympathetic towards her that she doesn't, they don't, it doesn't pull any punches. Like, it's horrible. And things that happen in that film are horrible. It's like, it's heavy going, but she is like exceptional in it.
Okay, definitely on
So
that.
there you go. Nice. That's actually, from when I used to go to cinema. That's good. That's like an extra little recommend from me. Quite pleased with that. I have carried on with Shogun. Now, like five episodes into it, and it's pretty good, man. We left like we watched like the first two episodes and then sort of forgot to just like go back into it, and now we're back, and it's really cool. I think one of the things that I really enjoy about it is it doesn't like there's several things. I like that it's set in a sort of time and a place that you just kind of don't get too much stuff about. Like, maybe, you probably do in Japan, but not here. Like, we don't really have a lot of stuff about Japan in the very early 17th century. So that's really cool. And I like that it's made in a way that, like, very clearly doesn't like fetishize Japan or Japanese people, which I think is like a massive problem that, like, Western culture has,
Yeah, no, you're right.
frankly.
No, you're right.
And is often quite creepy about Japan. And it doesn't do that at all.
Okay.
And I also like the way the one British guy is also, it's just like a nice reversal. So in so much contemporary pop culture, like that's specifically English people, I guess, like we're stuffy upper class toffs who are like sort of weedy, and it's all about manners and propriety and all of this kind of stuff. And like he's just quite leery.
Okay.
He's just like, he's obviously like he's a guy who is he's really tough, but he's sort of like he's not like at all cool. He's just very like he's a guy you would probably want on your team because he can kind of come up with whatever you need, but he's not posh in
That's
any way.
quiet,
So that's quite like it. That's a good vibe, I think, frankly. So yeah, it's not like super high quality. I would say some of the dialogue is quite bad, but it's fine. You can just sort of wave that away. And also a lot of good female characters, which is something that is just more and more necessary to me these days. So yeah, I think we've lost Billy to a small child and her demands, which is a real shame. But if we can get him to do his culture picks and add it on at the end, then we will. And if not, we'll get him to do it next week. Lauren, I'm buzzing to see you Sunday. It doesn't really, let's hope the men get a win, but really all of our energies are going to be directed towards the women. Will you see us out?
Up the Spurs.